Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
What is this, amateur hour?
Yeah, I ain't no Superman businessman like you. You know, I'm just an
amateur,
I suppose.
Amateur hour
is what's happening.
Amateur hour
is what's happening.
Do you remember the year 2012 in September? That's when amateur hour first began. Just two friends talking about the Chiefs. The team was awful. A lot's changed since 11 years ago. Now we have Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes. And oh yeah, we won a Super Bowl.
You're welcome.
It's almost time for amateur hour. It's almost time for amateur hour. It's almost time for amateur hour to start. Football and friendship and lots of fun, yeah. Football and friendship and lots of fun, yeah. Football and friendship and lots of fun, oh yeah.
Wow. Let's go!
That's right, folks. The show is called Amateur Hour. I am Ryan Scott Hall. And with me today, one of my favorite people on the planet is Dirkness. Dirk Do.
Sup, Cincinnati.
Oh, doggone it. That's not how I wanted to start. All right, so Chiefs, Dirk, Chiefs lose. Chiefs lost.
What?
Chiefs lost on Sunday.
No way.
I mean, there's like a lot of Chiefs Bengals stuff here. Not simply because they played, but I feel like there's just some stuff. We got some stuff. All right.
Like them owning us?
Well, I mean, that's happened. I mean, it sucks that the Chiefs have now lost to one team three times in 1 year by what, a combined 9 points or something?
Yep.
You know, I've been really torn about how to think about that game because, you know, the Chiefs are 9-3. They've lost those three games by a total of 10 points. You know, if you include Cincinnati, because they played them twice in this calendar year, the Chiefs have lost five games by a total of 16 points in 2022. It's like, there's nothing about the Chiefs that needs to tell you that, like, oh, they can't go win the Super Bowl, or, you know, something's terrible happening here because, you know, the three losses to the Bengals. But I think it's maybe important to note that, like, the Chiefs, since, let's just say, at least the beginning of 2019, prior to even winning the Super Bowl, because of the year that Mahomes had in 2018, the Chiefs became like the franchise that everybody was like, oh shit, we got to start preparing for this. And so the Chiefs have kind of been like a blueprint, I guess, since the beginning of 2019. And so if the AFC's been building and building to try to beat you for all those years, like, it makes sense that there's a team like the Bengals that are so evenly matched with you that all these games are close and they all come down to the end. And, you know, it feels like the narrative was almost like the Bengals are built to beat Kansas City. And I'm like, yeah, so is literally every single team in the AFC. You know, like, I don't think we should be surprised that the Chiefs have what feels like maybe a real rival now, even though they keep saying that you have to win in order for it to be a rivalry, which is fair.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. I'm totally fine calling it a rivalry for now, but don't lose the next one, especially not in these playoffs, because then it's, I mean, officially not a rivalry. And I think some people are probably there
at that point, right? I mean, like, you're then people are terrified of the Bengals if you lose to them in these playoffs.
Yeah. And I mean, I do think there's something to that. I mean, we kind of clown the division for wrapping it up by Thanksgiving, you know, because they all kind of loaded up to beat the Chiefs in what is this, not quite a rebuild, call it a reload year with all those stats that you were dropping earlier with those only close losses on the year. But I do think they were getting it all right. You know, you want to load up at receiver and you want to load up at edge rusher or pass rush. Now, it didn't really lead to fruition with the division teams for numerous reasons. But the Bengals seem to be getting it done, mostly with the receivers. And then just, I mean, I don't know how to explain it. Good pass rush. I mean, Hendrickson's good. These other guys, Sam Hubbard, Osai, I don't know if they're good. They're guys, and they've got the job done in the biggest plays of the game against the Chiefs. So, I mean, I think there's two different ways of looking at this. One is that the Bengals are a huge mismatch with the Chiefs because of what they can do with the receivers. I mean, these guys seem to make every single play. They're loaded with confidence going against our guys. And I mean, every single time it's a gotta have it play, these receivers come down with it. And they really make it so the Chiefs, you know, they're not able to blitz. And we'll kind of get into more specifics with that later, I think. But it's really hard to blitz in anything with these receivers because, like, okay, you're gonna bring extra guys and you're just gonna leave our guys one-on-one. We'll throw it up every single time. And as they should, because those guys are really good and they seem to have our corners numbers at this point. On the other hand of it being a mismatch, and, you know, kind of maybe not a mismatch, but the, you know, the Bengals being strong where the Chiefs are weak, because I mean, this is a team that, you know, the Browns beat them by fucking 25 points a couple weeks ago. It's not like this is like this dominant team, but they do seem to play the Chiefs really, really well. On the other hand, you know, the Chiefs got outdueled by who I would call the second best quarterback in the NFL now. Playing one of the best games of his career and losing by 3 points, and he missed a game tying field goal with 3 minutes left. You know, obviously that is reducing the game. And the Bengals had some plays that didn't go their way as well. And there's layers upon layers upon layers to all these, but this is just sort of, internet might've gone out there. Hopefully I'm good to go. But these are just the facts of it. So I'm not going to freak out too much because it just feels like each of these games has their own circumstances and, you know, they're very good games and they kind of come down to the end and then the Bengals make the plays when it matters most and give them credit for us and dock the Chiefs for it because they're making the plays when it matters most. These are important plays. And, you know, this is what makes legacies. This is what wins championships. This is everything. But the Chiefs make those plays a number of times. We got on here talking about the Chiefs Chargers games, all seemed about the same. They're pretty much just like these Bengals games, except the Chiefs are making the plays at the end. And in this matchup, the Bengals are making plays at the end. So, you know, I don't know what it is. You know, does it get to a mindset? Are they in their heads now? Does it get to that point? I think not. I hope not. But we're teetering there. You know, just ask yourselves the same question going against the Chargers. I mean, are we in their heads? I would say yes. So maybe I'm just a biased Chiefs fan when it comes to that. Or maybe I just believe that we're the best team and that we've happened to drop three very close games, all with different circumstances to this Cincinnati Bengals team.
So let me ask you this. We know that their offense, the way that it's built, particularly, as you mentioned, with the receivers, I mean, that offense, I was looking at snap counts. And it's like Higgins and Boyd and Chase and Pirine and Burrow just on the field for basically every play. All of them like above 80% of the snaps. And I look at the Chiefs side, and outside of Kelce and Juju played 75% of the snaps. It's Justin Watson, Noah Gray, MVS, McKinnon, Pacheco, Sky Moore, in that order in terms of snaps descending. And like none of these get, Justin Watson and Noah Gray are at 60%, higher than MVS, McKinnon, Pacheco, Sky Moore. Like it's kind of, it's not great out there. They're making it work. And I think that Mahomes, most of us would say Mahomes is better than Joe Burrow, but like, are, if the Bengals have beaten the Chiefs three times in a year, are they better? Or is it just that you said like it's, they might just be a really tough matchup? I don't, are they a better team?
Are they a better team? I would say no. But I mean, if I'm a Bengals fan, I scream yes. And they're screaming it a lot louder than I'm saying yes, or a lot louder than I'm saying no, I guess. So I mean, you have to fight back to stake your claim, I guess. I will still be confident if we play in the playoffs. I'll still be confident, and you know that's part of having Mahomes and being good for 5 years, and the Bengals kind of being this upstart and us having a Super Bowl title. It's just I'm filled with confidence. Like it's kind of weird to have a team that owns us to get to this point because nobody else. You know, you could say Tom Brady, I guess, because he beat us with the Patriots in the playoffs and beat us with the Bucks in the playoffs. But there's also losses in there. It wasn't just like this psychological thing. This is like the first true they might have our number kind of thing. So it's weird. But I mean, it's I don't know. It's, are they better? I guess I'd say yes. But, you know, how about you ask Vegas? I looked at the Super Bowl odds before we got on here. The Chiefs are plus 225 to win the AFC, and the Bengals are plus 600. So they think we're three times more likely to win the AFC than the Bengals. So Vegas has their answer that they think the Chiefs are better.
Well, even so after this game, the Chiefs are already a game better, right? We have a win in the column beyond the Bengals. I mean, I started last week's show saying the Chiefs are the one seed. And mathematically, the Chiefs are now no longer the one seed because they have the same record as the team that beat them head-to-head in the Buffalo Bills. You know, the Bills officially lose Von Miller today. I kind of thought and opined that was going to be the case.
There's a big game looming. I just want to get people ready for this. There's a big game looming, Bills at Bengals, I believe week 17.
It's
ramifications.
And I think it's like Monday night or something.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, not hopefully. I never get to watch Monday Night Football because those fuckers put it on ESPN. I mean, look, I think that the Chiefs are the most likely team to take the one seed still. I would still say the Chiefs are the one seed. They certainly, by the numbers, as far as easiest remaining schedule, take the cake by far, I believe.
Thanks, Denver.
Right.
We're going to get a hell of a matchup from the Raiders, though. Just be ready for that.
That is the same week as – no, we play them week 18. I was going to say – I want to say that's the same week as Bengals-Bills. It's the last game. It's like January 6th or something, I think.
Depending on if they crawl back into the playoff race, that could be a hotly contested game.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, sticking with the big picture, you know, I've been mostly optimistic here about the Chiefs. The one thing that I have seen in the last couple days that has given me a hard pause is that we have lost five of our last six to Buffalo and Cincinnati. And the one win, we tied it up in 13 seconds. So if you take that miracle away, you know, we're mere seconds away from, you know, a kickoff decision away from losing six in a row to the cream of the crop in the AFC. Hearing that that was the one thing I was just like, whoa, man, do we got to reassess some things here? I mean, there's always so many ways to look at things but that was the one thing I saw this week that really gave me pause. And then, you know, I looked at it going through the AFC, you know, Bengals kind of own us. The Bills vary back and forth, but they have won two of three now against us. The Chargers, they always play us close. The Raiders typically play us tough. Last year was different, but, you know, kind of, I don't know. Broncos defense, they always play us well. They kind of developed that too high system that's worked so well against us most of last year. Even the Ravens won the last matchup. So it's like, even though like we feel like we completely own this division, which we do, and own the AFC to a degree, looking at each of these teams, breaking it down individually, each one of them kind of gives you a little bit of pause there.
Yeah, and that's fair. And they haven't had to play this iteration of the Dolphins, who I guess it's at least when healthy, they obviously not having their starting tackles against San Francisco didn't end well. But that's obviously a team we talked about a fair amount last week that's dangerous. You know, it would be really interesting to see this young secondary try to figure that out. I feel like I kind of planned on talking about Andy Reid getting out coached by Lou Anarumo.
Lou ain't no joke. Also, he's not that big. For some reason, I remember Big Lou being big and fat, and then they showed him and he wasn't big.
It's
just a nickname, Big Lou.
Yeah. What do you know about this guy?
Big Lou?
Yeah.
He's got my respect to a big degree.
So I can't remember who I was listening to. I want to say it would have been like Million Dollar Picks. I was probably Schrager talking about him. Anarumo's like late to coaching and had never really been I think this is the first time he's been a defensive coordinator at any level in Cincinnati. Always had been like a position coach. And there's even in the podcast I was listening to where they were talking about him, they were saying like, I don't know if this is a guy that will even want a head coaching job. Like he's up there in age and really likes what he's doing. And I mean, he's got a great job, you know, but trying to take on the stress of a head coaching gig, and he had never even been a coordinator before, it would be kind of a whirlwind for a guy up there in age. But ultimately, anyway, the point being, I had kind of planned on talking about Andy getting out coached by him because it just feels like he's adjusting. It's like he's got the upper hand. The Chiefs are trying so hard to figure out what the Bengals are doing or how to attack what the Bengals do, and the Bengals just seem to be on the front foot defensively against this team. But ultimately, honestly, man, this one's on the players. This game particularly is on the players. I think we've heard at this point, those of us that you know, are consuming Chiefs content, Spagnuolo tried like every single thing that he could do defensively. They dropped eight and they just did the four-man pressure and they blitzed, you know, five guys, six guys, seven guys. Like he tried a little bit of everything and none of it just really worked. And so it's guys that aren't executing or not having the talent or the Bengals just having your number. I don't know, but it's not like Spags wasn't trying stuff. And I look at, you know, the offense and it's a Travis Kelce fumble. This game was so even. These teams are so evenly matched. And when your two possessions in the fourth quarter are a fumble and a missed field goal, that just feels like what this game was to me. I don't know.
Yeah, I have a hard time saying, you know, that the Chiefs' offense is at fault really at all. You know, really their stops, you can boil it down to four plays. And it's Travis Kelce fumbling. It's Orlando Brown getting beat on a three-man rush, which leads to a field goal decision. And then, you know, earlier in the game, the only stops are a batted ball by the D lineman when Travis Kelce's wide open. And that's a third down that leads to a field goal early in the game. And then an illegal man downfield on a third and 15 conversion, which forces the third and 20. And then that's the only stops that the Chiefs, everything else is a touchdown outside of those four plays. So, you know, we can kind of get into each of those. There's so much to talk about the Andy decision, and trust me, I didn't like it. It's a weird one with the Mahomes injury thrown in there, which he has been adamant, I guess, but that did not factor in, which sucks because that's kind of my biggest defense, because you're facing a fourth and seven, like one of your biggest weapons in a fourth and seven play like that is Mahomes' legs. He loves to run for it in a fourth down in mid like that. He loves to run. And not only run, maybe just run around and make a play and work somebody open. But if you take that out, I mean, that makes it a lot harder. It's a slam dunk, go for it if he's not hurt. Like, no, you got to go. You got to go. You got to go. But once he comes up limp, you're kind of just like, fuck, what do we do? Do we burn a timeout? And there's only 3 minutes left. And, you know, we're about to tie, maybe come down. This is come down to the end. Timeouts are very valuable. Do you burn a timeout to give him a chance to heal and think about it? That's probably what I would have done in retrospect, but it's very hard, but a little concerning that he just didn't say none of that really factored in. He just thought the field goal was the go play.
One thing to mention, I can't remember who I was listening to, but they were talking about the difference for Mahomes between scrambling, like to get away from pressure, and choosing to run because it's the right play to make. Like when Pat chooses to run, and they were kind of relating that to like that last sack, you know, when Brown gets beat, and it's like, this is not Mahomes making the choice that I'm going to break for it, you know, and that can be, I know that protecting Mahomes is a tough job. Like there's been many discussions about how deep he drops and how tough it makes it on his tackles. But by golly, the protection numbers are awful. Everybody's seen them. You have first and second and pressures allowed. And I feel like we're able to see the way that the Chiefs can lose. Like if the Chiefs don't win the Super Bowl, you can see it now. I think it's,
well, I mean, isn't that the story of every loss? Isn't it always, you know, we gave up sacks and we couldn't protect Mahomes? I mean, that feels like the story every time we lose a game. That was the story coming out of the Bills game, obviously. I mean, I guess Colts was just like numerous mistakes across the board. But it feels like more often than not, if the Chiefs lose a game, it's because A, they didn't pressure the opposing quarterback, and or B, they couldn't protect Mahomes. And that's going back over the years, back to the Super Bowl, obviously. But, you know, you mentioned the two tackles being number one and number two and pressures allowed for the season. That bears repeating. Also, keep in mind, one of those two tackles is a journeyman making, I think, less than $2 million this year. And the other is trying to become the highest paid offensive lineman in the NFL. So those are two, you're obviously holding those two to different standards. So, I mean, OBJ, I kind of want to look at these four fuck ups in the fourth quarter that really cost the Chiefs the game. And I was kind of looking at win probability because I was like, man, there's so much being made of this Andy Reid fourth down, and I get it, because I hate it, and I thought it was something that he's overcome, really. But he just hasn't been great there this year, I don't think. He's made some bad fourth down decisions so far this year. Quick stats on that. Football Outsiders does an aggressiveness index. Andy was 14th in 2021. So mostly middle of the pack. You, with a guy like Mahomes and Chiefs offense and bad defense, you want to be towards the top of the aggressiveness, I would say. Ben Baldwin does these fourth down chartings. The Chiefs are in the section called confused because there's these toss-up situations where it's like 50-50 and we're in the sixth highest percent or the sixth highest in the league of going for it. So like 50-50 calls, like the Chiefs lean towards going for it. But then there's also these decisions that leans heavily towards go for it, and we're 30th in going for it. Like 30th in terms of aggressiveness going for fourth down. So he just has us in this quadrant labeled confused because, you know, we're not making consistent decisions when it comes to that. And that kind of bears out. I mean, you saw it in this game. We went for it on a fourth and goal from the three, and it leads to this Aaron Mahomes moment that, oh my God, the worst thing from the game is that this Aaron Mahomes moment gets lost now because it's in a loss. That sucks. Anyways, back to my original point. I feel like so much is being made about this fourth down decision. I wanted to look at like win probability of these four fuck-ups. So this is win probability lost from the Chiefs' four fuck-ups in the fourth quarter. Travis Kelce fumbles. That's 10.4% win probability lost. And Kelce fumbles once per year each of the last 4 years. So a very rare event. I'm also kind of looking at how fluky these things are. Like, Is this like a Chiefs-Bengals thing that we're going to see going forward, or is this total fluke? Like, how much can we excuse this as a fluke? Orlando Brown misses the block. They give up that sack on that third down. The Chiefs were actually favored to win at that point before the sack, but lost 24.6% win probability on that sack. By far the biggest play in the game, by far. Is that a fluke? Well, Orlando Brown gives up the second most hurries in the NFL. So I would say not that fluky, really. Andy's decision to kick it cost us 2.6% win probability. Decisions don't go too far. I mean, it's more about, you know, just because we go for fourth and seven doesn't mean we win. We still have to convert a fourth and seven. So bad decision. I don't agree with it. But compared to like the plays, kind of minuscule. And then Butker missing the field goal cost us 7% in win probability. And that's actually 9.6 minus 2.6% to kick it. Do you remember Butker missing big kicks before? Like, this dude misses extra points all the time. And he misses random kicks, but I very much so trust this dude with the game on the line. I can't remember like a big kick that he's missed in his career. I meant to kind of research it this week, but I didn't have the time nor a good way to really look it up. But I just remember big kicks like this guy's usually nails. And I missed that one. Obviously, 55 yards isn't easy, and he had the length on it, just barely misses it. But do you remember him missing big kicks before?
Not really. I mean, honestly, the complaints about Butker I've always thought have just been pretty ridiculous, because that dude is nails and he's got arguably the most powerful leg, and he was the, you know, like the power and accuracy are second only to Justin Tucker. And those guys, I mean, entering the season, I think Butker is still like the most accurate kicker in NFL history since he entered the league or something. I mean, the numbers on him are much better than anyone seems to recognize. It's just like he keeps missing extra points. And he even had gotten that under control. I think the only thing with Butker this year is like, you never want a kicker to get hurt and have to lose their routine and have to figure out their body and all that different stuff, because those guys, it's like golf or like bowling or whatever. Like, it has to be clockwork and repetition. And, you know, he's off a little bit.
Which is legit, because he's been good for, you know, 6-7 years now, and now he's having a pretty awful season, I would say.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're pointing at injury that happens to it was his plant foot, right?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, that seems like a valid excuse, but man, it sucks. It sucks.
Yeah, especially because it just happened on crap field in Arizona, the first kick of the year, I think.
Oh my God, that was it?
Yeah, I mean, it was like a kickoff.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, it's just, you know, and it's just lingered. So that sucks for him. I mean, look, like.
So the what I'm saying, the kind of like the summary of all that is, you know, was this just a fluke of a loss and they can clean these things up? Or was this, you know, some sort of bigger sign? I would lean towards fluke, but you'd also kind of say that of each of the last three Bengals losses. So maybe I'm the fool here, but I remain confident if we were to play them again or anyone else.
So I feel like what you said about the win probability lost on the third down sack when Orlando Brown gives up the quick pressure against a three-man rush.
Had control of the game to that point. I mean, 3 minutes left, driving down. It's almost like what the Bengals did to us last year, running out that clock, you know, making this the final drive of the game and then scoring at the end. It was almost like we almost shut the Bengals offense out like they did to us last year in the regular season.
Well, I was thinking that, and this is a little reductive. It's not like very precise. It's more, I'm just kind of trying to think about the easiest way to describe this game. And really, I think it comes down to third down conversions. The Bengals were 7 of 11 and the Chiefs were 6 of 11. And all you got to do is just look at the last two third downs that each team had. Patrick Mahomes gets flushed on a three-man rush because Orlando Brown doesn't do his job and he gets sacked. And on the Bengals' last third down, Joe Burrow hits this pass right over the middle, and Josh Williams is like draped all over him, and they just make the play. Those are the last two third downs of the game. And one team was 6 of 11, the other was 7 of 11. It just comes down to those two third down plays for me. And, you know, like, look, it's – I think what can be said, what should be said, is teams have closed the gap on the Chiefs. They have. Here's the thing. A team like the Bengals, clearly what feels like right now, like, we could say the Bills – I will stick by what I said last week about the Bills, that like they feel a little rattled to me, the injuries and everything else, and I think it's just going to only get more and more difficult for them to keep that team together.
I mean, Von Miller going out is gigantic.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The Bengals are about to, in I guess it would probably be 2 years, they still have some time, which is the scariest part about them, but they are getting – very close to having to pay people, particularly Joe Burrow. But I did see that in the next, I believe it's either this offseason and next offseason is when all three of their receivers become extension eligible or whatever, or due for a contract because Tyler Boyd is a little bit older.
Yeah.
But like Higgins and Chase over the next couple of years, will it's like it's time. You have
to pay. Burrow and Mixon's probably the other one you're thinking of.
Right? I mean, like that's – they're going to start to face the decisions that the Chiefs had to make, trading Tyreek away and figuring out how to steer it. And so it has to, you know, it depends on how these teams get built. Once you get out of that rookie quarterback window, that is still very clearly the biggest advantage in the NFL. And so, I mean, the Bengals have a short window of then when they actually have to match that real energy where we're paying Patrick Mahomes $500 million to do this.
Well, but I mean, they have a few years. It just made me think of where I went when we were talking Chiefs Bills, whereas their salaries next year are going to balloon up. Like they're already kind of past that point. The Bengals are still young. I mean, Burrow in his third fucking year?
I think
it's third year.
Yeah.
Jesus. I mean, they're still in the.
But that means he's probably getting an extension next year, right?
I mean, well, yeah, but I mean, might... first year's never expensive. And then, you know, it just kind of starts out cheap.
They probably have two seasons of cheap Joe Burrow after this one. So, yeah, yes. I mean, like they're the scariest in the AFC to me.
Yes. I mean, moving forward, yes. I mean, I think the Bills should be peaking now. The Bengals are just kind of hitting their peak, which is scary because they already went to a Super Bowl last year. And then, you know, you think they hit the troubles this year, but then here they are once again, like surging. And even back those early season losses, I mean, they lost to the Cowboys, and the Cowboys look a lot better than they did. And their other early season loss, the Steelers, when they turned it over five times. So it's just kind of, that was kind of their fluke.
Yeah.
And then they played the Jets kind of close. But it's like all those games kind of like look a lot better than they did then. And then they beat the Dolphins in their fourth game. But like it was just kind of like, man, what's wrong with the Bengals? They kind of stink this year in that first four games. But all those teams were better than we thought. So, I mean, I think they were just kind of playing a little tougher schedule. And they're really one of the AFC powers. I'm kind of shocked by the Vegas odds on Cincinnati. Like if I was a non-neutral or if I was a neutral fan, I'd be all over that number. Like the Bengals at plus 600? I mean, I guess the problem would be you have to argue they have to beat the Chiefs and the Bills, so that's just a tough path.
I think they have a Dolphins game on their schedule, too. Like, Cincinnati's got a really brutal stretch. We went over it last week. I don't have it memorized, and I deleted it out of my notes. But
I got to hear Browns at Bucks at Patriots, Bills, and then Ravens at home.
Yeah.
So three, four tough games in there. But, I mean, it does need to be said, the getting the one seed in the AFC feels super important this year because I don't know. Maybe you're still throwing Miami in there. I still see Miami as a distant below these three teams for sure. So I have these three at the top. And so whoever gets that one seed avoids playing the other two or avoids playing both of them. So if the Chiefs get the one seed, you know, you get that Bills Bengals matchup in the divisional round instead of playing both of them. I would much rather. I mean, bring Miami to the cold in Kansas City in January. Like, give me that all day over playing one of these two teams again. So I think it's getting the one seed is especially important in the AFC this year.
And you know what, though? I mean, even though I've already said the Chiefs are the one seed, look, even if they're not, all that does is open the door for the very first grand opening premiere of Patrick Mahomes on a road playoff game. All right? Never done one before. It's never happened, unless you count the Super Bowl in Tampa. All right? Never played a road playoff game. It's never happened. And that, my friends, is what you call a hedge. It's fine. Even if I'm wrong, still going to be fun. Can't wait to see Pat Mahomes play a road playoff game. I want to mention something that I think is, it needs to be monitored. Needs to be just tuck it behind your ear. The Chiefs have a negative turnover differential. The defense is 26th in the league in takeaways. And like,
they had one this week, right?
Huh?
They had one this week, right?
Did they?
No, it got taken away.
Oh yeah, their takeaway got taken away. Yeah. I feel like, and look, Brett Veach, masterfully for many of us, even though the results so far have been mixed, masterfully decided to take a number of players off the table for Spags and say, sorry, you can't do this anymore. No more Dan Sorensen or Ben Neiman or whomever. Like, we're going to get rid of some of these trusty old parts. All right. Problem is, I believe that Daniel Sorensen and Tyrann Mathieu were responsible for 8 takeaways last year, and Thornhill and Reed are responsible for 1. So that's not great.
And it was at the very end of a game in a blowout. I don't even remember it. I think Thornhill got an interception against like the Jags, maybe.
That might be right. I just think it's important to consider the fact that, you know, one of the talking points coming out of this Bengals game is that they do a really good job against the Chiefs of limiting possessions. And if you're the Chiefs and you have Patrick Mahomes, you want the ball as much as possible. And don't confuse time of possession with number of possessions. They can correlate, but they don't have to always. But you want the ball as much as possible, as many bites of the apple, right?
Well, can't you just sense Mahomes? Like, I feel like I saw him in the first half, just like watching these long drives, just like getting frustrated. Like, man, they're gonna fucking limit the number of possessions again this game, and it just kind of. I feel like you can see it in his eyes. It's just like, man, I already see what kind of game this is going to be. And the Bengals are good at it.
Yeah. I guess, but I just think that it's not like they planned it this way. But, you know, we've talked about this, you know, roster building type of stuff before. And one of the things that I loved about all these young guys and going this route on defense was like, just let them play. Run around with their hair on fire, and every team every week is going to be like, that's kind of a tough team to play. They play really physical and they go do these things. And sometimes it looks like they play that way. But my guy, Nick Bolton, the play where he's got a lineman coming at him and he's like dropping into a zone away from a run. I'm guessing he read the play wrong, but it still didn't register to him that an offensive lineman was mirroring him as he's going into his drop and getting downfield. Like, that's a running play, Bubba. And I've been very quick to defend him. And I don't know anything about what play was called and what his responsibility was and stuff, but like, Nick Bolton is an aggressive player. He was at Missouri, and I don't know if it's Spags not having him do that every week or if he's overthinking some stuff. The Bengals obviously did some really smart things in the way that they changed their offense because they didn't really attack outside the hash marks that much in this game, and they didn't really throw it deep at all this game. And so really they just like attacked the middle of the field, and Spags almost made it sound like we weren't really prepared for it. You know, he's kind of accepting some responsibility there, but he's like, well, yeah, it's kind of take you by surprise that they're attacking a part of the field that they haven't that much in the past. So the Bengals are evolving and kind of growing up a little bit. And it sounds like the Chiefs are doing that too, with the number of receivers that Mahomes is having to lean on and spreading the ball around and not having Tyreek. Like, of course, the teams are evolving. I think when I look at that Chiefs defense, they got to find some playmakers, man. And I don't know if they're on the team. Like, if you went through all the different guys, regardless of whether it's like a skill position on defense, like who are the, like, the dynamic players on the Chiefs defense? I mean, yeah, I think you have to say Chris Jones, because he was everyone's arguing defensive player of the year potentially. And now I think I actually did see, should the Chiefs trade Chris Jones this offseason? I thought that narrative had been buried, but he has, you know, one rough game against the Bengals and people are like, well, no longer defensive player of the year. And also he's going to be traded this offseason. Fans are fickle. But outside of him, I guess I want to say Snead, and I guess I want to say McDuffie. And I think that's about it. There are guys that can be good, but like, is this the cost of we're going to go young, we're going to go cheap, you know, cheap at corner, period. They just happen to be going young this time. They got to turn the ball over, man. They got to figure something out playmaking wise on defense, because if the defense is going to play against teams like the Bills and teams like the Bengals in order to go win a championship, unless you got something, you know, Mr. Motivation stash up there and they can just turn it on in the playoffs or something, like, you can't go having games where you're not pressuring the quarterback and you're not turning that team over. You're asking too much.
I mean, yeah, I think you're looking at the defense as a whole, and you like Chris Jones, and I think McDuffie is on his way to being a stud. But after that, I'm not sure what all you got. I guess Snead, I'd throw Snead in there, I guess.
I don't know like how to quantify Snead. You know, we talked about how he's basically a safety. He's kind of been doing some Tyrann Mathieu things, but it's not like he's, you know, forcing turnovers. I think he has forced some fumbles, I believe. You know, he's getting some sacks. He's a great tackler, generally. But, like, he's not a turnover machine.
No. And, I mean, nobody really is, which, I mean, is a problem. I mean, that's kind of what you're alluding with Badger, I guess. I mean, that's kind of one thing he brought to the table. I mean, I think big picture, you're looking at a lack of hits on draft picks. I mean, lots of people going in on Nick Bolton, and I get it. With the anti DJ special there on the play you're talking about, Willie Gay, what's he really doing? I mean, he should be like faster, like
getting rotated out for Darius Harrius.
Yeah, I don't understand that. Like, what's the point? Other than he's struggling, which is not good. I think is Darius Harrius better than? I mean, Willie Gay seems like he should be the playmaker. Like, you kind of look at him like Bolton should be the thumper. And he's kind of making those plays. I mean, he's up there in tackles for loss, up there for highest in the NFL. So I think he's doing his job more than Willie Gay. Should be more of a pass coverage guy. But we don't really seem to be slowing him down over the middle. Like, I don't see him making those plays. And he should be like the more athletic, flying around, making plays kind of guy. And I don't see that. Juan Thornhill, he's a second round pick. Brian Cook, he's a second round pick. He's still a rookie, I guess. But you're spending high picks on these players, and none of them are really panning out in the middle of the field, speaking. And so it was interesting to see the Bengals change up their game plan and really go from attacking outside the numbers with their receivers. And this one, just playing more ball control, able to run it against us, like at will, able to throw over the middle.
We're able to, it felt like, right? Either team could run the ball however they wanted, felt like.
But... you know, that falls on the middle of the field defense. It was a very, very bad game for the linebackers. I would say that the linebackers that we were very, you know, excited to see this year, And they just kind of got washed out in both the run game and picked on in the pass game. So not great for them. The pass rush, I think that's been talked about all season. Do we have anything outside of Chris Jones? And it's doesn't really seem like we do.
I like what Carlos Dunlap has brought to the table.
They all seem to kind of like
be your best defensive end.
Like, they all seem to kind of make plays at some point, but nothing consistent. Like, no one's getting consistent pressure on the quarterback outside of Chris Jones. So the Bengals really make a point to double team Chris Jones, which, you know, I was kind of talking with Matty Lane from Sports Network today. Like, I mean, why doesn't every team do this? Like, shouldn't this be what every team does? But, you know, he kind of makes the point of the Bengals, the Chiefs would typically get out of this by blitzing or at least showing blitz looks to kind of confuse the offensive line into getting a one-on-one matchup for Jones or bringing those extra guys and getting pressure that way. But the Bengals just own the Chiefs when they blitz. And part of that is, you know, just the weapons on the outside. You know, if they sense any kind of pressure and have one-on-one at any time, they're going to throw up to these two guys with great confidence. Another thing seems to be that Joe Burrow has this impenetrable force around him when he plays the Chiefs. Like, I don't get, like, he has this fantastic pocket presence. We might get pressure, but he just shimmies around it every single time. You know, I was kind of watching some Chiefs Bengals AFC Championship highlights for the first time in a while. The plays in that fourth quarter, my goodness, he's just shimming around every single play. I mean, remember the Chris Jones sack? There was other plays in that game where he just escapes and then runs for first down. It's just like, what the fuck? How's he doing this? You know, so if we do get close to him, we never bring him down. This is if we, you know, get past the pocket presence that he's shown. Like, we can't tackle him for some reason, even though he's just like the stiff pocket passing quarterback. On top of all that, he also becomes part Mike Vick against us. He has 11 carries for 46 yards in this game. Like, where the hell did that come from? You know, and just a few stats on this. Last year in the playoffs, the Bengals go getting sacked 9 times against the Titans, 9 times, once by us, and then 7 times by the Rams. 9 times before, 7 times after, and 1 time by us. Burrow averages getting sacked 3.25 times per game in his career, which seems high. It's way higher than Mahomes. And the Chiefs have 2 in their last 2 games against Burrow. So, I mean, look no further than that stat right there as to why the Bengals are better against the Chiefs than other opponents. The details on that, I mean, I'm trying to wrap my mind around it, but I cannot. Why they cannot get after Burrow.
Yeah, because it seems like there's 3.25 sacks a game average worth of tape to watch to see what other teams do. And it's like, I think it just comes down to players. You just don't seem to have the guys. Or you are a little bit easier to defend with your offensive line and backs, whatever, being able to pick up what the Chiefs bring to you. But that was something that was super puzzling to me, thinking that since, you know, Burrow got sacked 9 times before we played him, and then we couldn't do anything against him in that playoff game. And I, you know, look, like, a guy that was brought here to be the anchor in Frank Clark, after the game. And look, Frank does his talking on the field. He doesn't really talk to the media that much, you know. But
I heard someone said that in their post game. Some Bengal. He was like, "Nah, Reed wasn't really talking. 55 was the only one out there talking." I think Chase said that.
I mean, Frank talks a lot on the field, but you know, he talked after this game and he said, "I guarantee that we are not going to play like that again." And look, ownership is leadership to me. And I think that Frank is still an important part of what we do. I mean, he's gotta be, he's probably the highest paid player, outside of Chris Jones on the entire defense. I mean, he's not making,
Reed maybe
potentially. And look, Justin Reed, kind of a problem. What a whirlwind of a week for Justin Reed. Fumbling his way into potentially accidentally talking shit and then going out and having a game. Don't know how to describe it.
Yeah, I think we found the biggest weakness on the Chiefs, and that's talking shit. Because it wasn't even done on purpose. It was more of a journalist tweeting shit. Like, that was our shit talk. A journalist misquoting or misleading him, I guess. But then, for no apparent reason, Reed kind of doubles down on the idea on Twitter when he never really antes up. He's like, nah, we'll still lock y'all down. I was like, whoa, just, I don't know, relax. I mean, okay, we'll now bring it. But then when shit gets real, he folds. He didn't bring it at all. And then, after all that, he claims he actually wins. He actually won the hand. Even though he didn't ante, he doubled down, he folded, he comes in after, he's like, no, I still won the hand.
Let us not forget, my friend, the most important detour that he took during this entire process. He fucking apologized. He said he was sorry after that game. Like, oh yeah, you know, I didn't mean for that to come off the way that it did, whatever. He apologized. And then a day or two later, please, go and look. Mitch Schwartz said it himself. When Justin Reed tweeted, even if we lost, I played a good game, basically. Mitch Schwartz said, the timing of that tweet, he's like, he is sitting in a meeting at Arrowhead right now. Like, I don't understand it. I don't want to overreact to like one bad week on the internet. I don't want to do that.
Well, no, but, I mean, on top of all that, I mean, Andy Reid chastised him.
That's the thing.
Like, that's not how we do things. And we've talked to him about it.
As in, yeah, he said he's new. He didn't really know, but he knows it now. That was before the game. So Andy had already like reprimanded him. And then this dumbass goes out and tweets that and gets ratioed to high heaven from both Chiefs and Bengals fans. No one's happy about it. And I'm just like, I mean, I looked up his contract to see, did they set this up like MVS? Like, can we get out of it? Because like, this dude is supposed to be the leader of the defense. I mean, think about the way that, at least I know I talked about him when they signed him, like, this dude is going to be a star. And they brought him in, and the way that they put him in front of the microphone, and like, he's do everything right guy and be the leader and be the tone setter. And I don't feel like he has done that for this defense. I don't think that he has played the way they've paid him to play in this defense. To be fair, he's surrounded by a bunch of guys that are all learning how to play the game. And ultimately, I don't know what to make of Juan Thornhill. Not good, I guess. Not going to get that all-pro that he predicted.
Well, I mean, sticking with
Reed
real quick. I mean, yeah. Compare him to Matthew, like bringing in Matthew in 2019. And, you know, people have, you know, deep thoughts about Tyrann Mathieu and the end of his tenure with us, not that good. But go back to 2019 and what he installed in that Chiefs defense. I mean, it felt like everything that season. Like, Tyrann Mathieu was one of my favorite players of all time watching him that season. How he transformed that Chiefs defense, the leadership he brought, the toughness. I mean, say what you want about his exit. You cannot say a bad word about what Tyrann Mathieu did in 2019 and what he meant to that Super Bowl defense. And, you know, you're kind of bringing in Reed as the one-for-one replacement here, hoping that he does something similar, and it's not even close, I mean, up to this point. So, I mean, I don't – it's been a spectacular flop, I would say.
I think that – I mean, and he – I don't think he tweeted the numbers, but, like, I saw other people do it. Like, I think that he's still considered quite good in coverage or whatever. And it's like, I think you're missing some tackles. I also think that perhaps it's possible what you are tasked with doing in this defense is fucking boring. He might have a really boring job, but like, he's not around the ball. And when he is, it seems like he has taken a bad angle, or he is willing to maybe take some punishment from a running back. I know he's done a couple of those, but like Justin Reed, the player that he was in Houston, especially the year that he got to play with Tyron, he has not played like that since then. And it was like, I was really optimistic because it's Houston's defense has been so bad. And I have to make excuses for him right now and say, well, there's a lot of young players on the defense. But because like that to me is kind of the explanation. I don't know where exactly the problem is, because honestly, I think that maybe this is just Chiefs bias. I think I like a lot of the players on the defense. I think I like them. Now, can I say this? Despite the fact that they are 26th in turnovers, they've already, even without being able to really put any pressure on Joe Burrow, they've already surpassed the sacks that they had each of the last two seasons, and there's still five games to go. I don't know if that has to do with shifting parts around or Spagnuolo being a blitzing wizard. But honestly, I think that what Joe Cullen has done with that defensive line, I think he's getting more out of that group than Brendan Daly got out of any group that he had while he was the defensive line coach. And like, I remember talking about Brendan Daly, like, this guy might be our next defensive coordinator because Spags isn't, you know, a spring chicken here. Joe Cullen has done some things, it feels like. But I also think that they really suck at defensive tackle. I think they're bad. Like, I think that their defensive tackle room is just a different version of what our wide receivers looked like with Tyreek. It was Tyreek and a whole bunch of guys that couldn't really do anything. They'd occasionally go out and have a good day, and that is pretty much what you're looking at. And it might even be worse, because the only guy that I trust to do anything outside of Chris Jones as a defensive tackle, Colin Saunders? I mean, we've got George Karloftis playing defensive tackle, basically. And Dunlap is sliding in there, and Frank is sliding in there. And, like, they cut Taylor Stallworth. I'm thinking that this Brandon Williams dude is like, about to be brought onto the roster. I mean, I don't think Derek Nnadi is, like, a rosterable player. I'm at the point where I think that they should probably have Shelton and this Brandon Williams. And, like, can we just see what it looks like with two gigantic dudes in there sometimes? I mean, I don't know. It seems a little bad, but I think I'm impressed with what Cullen has been able to get out of what little he's got.
Yeah, I don't know what to think, because each of them do have flashes at times. Like, I mean, even Frank.
Like you said, it's not consistent, but he gets stuff from a bunch of different contributors.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, Frank has shown some things. You know, it's obviously not what you want from a Frank Clark, you know, contractually speaking and stuff. But, you know, compared to what he was last year, he's probably been better than he was last year. And, you know, Karloftis has shown some flashes. Dunlap showing some flashes. Dana showing some flashes. But when you look at, like, the totality of all of them, you get to a point where it's like, okay, the Bengals are going to double-team Chris Jones. What else you got? And we didn't have much. And that's kind of going to be the deciding question for this defense, and maybe for this team going into the playoffs, is can they figure that out? Can they get pressure with four, or do they have to bring extra rushers? And when they do, you're looking at how the Bengals handle it, and you're looking at how the Bills, you know, they were kicking the Bills' ass with blitzes early in that game. And then later on, right before halftime, bring a blitz, they throw it up to one-on-one, touchdown. You bring a blitz later on that game, they throw it up one-on-one, touchdown. And so that's kind of the concern. Can they get pressure with four, or do they have to blitz? And when they blitz, can they get one-on-one stops with these corners? Because I would say right now they've shown so far this year, even though none of them have been like particularly awful, they still haven't made the stop. So I think that will kind of ultimately be the fate of this defense and of this team, is if they can figure out that question. Either they have to get pressure with the four, or they have to be better when they're blitzing and get immediate pressure. Because in this game, when they blitzed, they still didn't get there. Like, the blitzes were highly disappointing. And I don't know that I would guess I would blame Spags for that because the blitz designs weren't there. Also, you weren't confusing Burrow. Like, you want to disguise these blitzes so he doesn't know that it is, and then that's your hope. And didn't really do that at all. So I don't know. It's a grab bag of problems, but at the crux of it is finding a way to get after the quarterback.
And losing this game, I think about like some of the lost moments that happen. I mean, Carlos Dunlap getting that fourth down stop was just such an awesome play, like for him, you know, had to have felt amazing. And now that's just something that happened in a loss. I mean, the Jerick McKinnon, Keith Cash spike, throwing the ball at that Bengals logo in the end zone. I was so hyped up, man. I mean, it was like every time the Chiefs made a play, I was like screaming. I was so into this game. And like, you know, it's when you lose, you don't think about the good stuff that happened for the most part. It's like, well, what are the reasons that we lost? And that just sucks, you know, because this was a really fun game.
I mean, yeah,
I was so into this game, man. I wanted it really bad.
Not only coming off the loss, but then the early game bad pass interference call. That's the cue to getting old Uncle Dirk fired up.
Well, and you're down 14-3. It's like this game could have gotten out of hand, and it, you know, ended up being super close. And you know, Cincinnati had a chance there with the pass that Boyd dropped to really stretch it out. But I mean, the Chiefs were driving to go up two scores late in the game. You know, it's like both teams had a chance to get away from one another, and they couldn't. They, for whatever reason, neither team could. And so easily the biggest lead of the game is 14-3. You know, and so it's like you want another comeback, even though it's an early game comeback instead of a late game comeback, but it adds to, you know, all the crazy Mahomes stats. And now they fucking snap the November and December winning streak of 20 something straight games, you know, and it's just like, losing sucks. That sucked.
Yeah. Yeah. That sucked. But yeah, I mean, yeah, once Chase is doing like the money thing, it's almost kind of flashbacks to like the Super Bowl, because we get down early, there's the bad calls, and then you get like the weird Brady Tyrann Mathieu thing where they're talking, and it's just like, as a fan, man, getting you fired the fuck up. And I was fired up for that one. But
yeah, I don't like the Bengals, and I think that is a good thing to have.
Yeah, doesn't that feel kind of good? Doesn't that feel kind of good?
I mean, that was something I think I was saying after the game, where it was like, you know what, like, fuck yeah, all right, like, I have a team to hate. I have not felt this in my body for a while, and like, it's probably since Brady was with the Patriots, you know. But like,
I mean that was kind of different, because that was more just like, I'm tired of them. Like, I didn't,
oh yeah, I just, but I just, ugh, yeah, I am tired, but it just, it's like, I, it's that tired is spoiling in my gut. Like, could not take it.
Yeah. I mean, when Chase was talking shit like that, that really got to it. Cause I mean, all you got to do is be like, okay, well, we're going to win. Like, you're talking shit early in this game. You think you're special going up 14-3. Like, we're coming back. Like, this is happening. And then it did. And then it kind of fell apart at the end.
I'll say this. There is not a snowball's chance in hell that I'll be able to afford it unless I start busting out credit cards.
Yeah.
But boy, it would be fun to go to a Chiefs-Bengals game, really at any point in the next few years. But God, if they meet in these playoffs, whether it's in Kansas City or Cincinnati, that would be a game to be at. Now, I mean, I don't really do the cold weather anymore. I don't really want to do that. A little too old for cold weather football attendance.
Well, you're living in the wrong city, man.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, just, I am excited. I am excited that the Chiefs have a team. Here we are coming full circle. A team that really does feel like a rival.
Well, it's kind of happened more organically. Like, we've kind of been force-fed, you know, Josh Allen the last couple of years. And I mean, the Bills are worthy and Josh Allen is good, so I don't want to like take away from him, but it's just been like forced down our throats for the last, like, Josh Allen's better than Mahomes. Any chance they get, Josh Allen's better than Mahomes. Josh Allen's better than Mahomes. When Joe Burrow's just been kind of lurking the whole time, and it's actually developed organically, you know, by beating him and beating him in important times, where, you know, it just feels like this is like the actual rivalry. Chiefs Bills is kind of there, but they really have to beat us when it matters, I guess, for it to get to that point. But the Bengals are saying the same thing about us.
Yeah, I mean, it's strange. Like,
we got a Super Bowl. We got a Super Bowl at least. So we got that. Yeah.
But with Burrow and Allen, like, they feel so different too. Because, like, when I think about Josh Allen, I know that he's very good. I get it. All right. But when I think about Josh Allen, I think about the goofy stuff he does. Because he's a cartoon character. All right. Like, Josh Allen makes blunders. All right. He is a blunderous quarterback at times. I believe he might still be leading the league in interceptions this year. Just putting that, I mean, he's hurt his elbow.
But I feel like he's going to blow it. Like, if we're playing in a game, like, okay, he's going to blow it. I'm confident he's going to blow it.
And Burrow is the opposite. He's Joe Cool and all this stuff. Like, he's that dude. Yeah.
He's icy.
Big time. That is a scary opponent for sure. And thankfully, you know, we've kind of been looking for that. Like, originally, we all assumed that it was going to be Mahomes and Watson. They get picked like a pick apart, you know, and their first couple games were super fun and exciting. And it's like, you know, Deshaun looked amazing. And then, you know, he did what he did. And now that you've kind of gone through some stuff with Josh Allen, I mean, obviously he and Pat have a lot of respect for each other. They've played golf together on television and stuff. I don't know if Pat Mahomes and Joe Burrow feel that way about each other. I think because of how these games have gone, maybe it's just, hey, you're in the fraternity. If I were Pat Mahomes, if I were petty Patrick Mahomes, I don't want to hang out with Joe Burrow. I don't play golf with that guy. If maybe only to get him on the golf course so I could hire someone to run him over with a Volkswagen, potentially. You know, but like, I don't like these Bengals. I don't like them.
Yeah, I don't know if it'd be like a Burrow thing. I think they probably respect each other, but the rest of the Bengals, I would say he probably, I mean, I don't know if he's hating anyone on the Bills, especially.
Well, that's the thing. I think that's what Schrager was talking about, like, going into the game. He's like, you know, the Chiefs and Bills are like, oh, it's just such a great game, and we're just so excited to be able to have the opportunity to lose to these guys and whatever. Like, he's like, it's a love fest. You know, Pat says great things about Josh Allen and back and forth and whatever. And he's like, the Chiefs and Bengals don't like each other. And I don't know if he was only trying to do that because of Justin Reed's slip up, but like,
accidental shit talk.
I mean, you saw it on the field too. I mean, it got chippy a couple times out there. I was surprised it stayed as much under control as it did, but I think it was two teams that were locked in on trying to win. But, you know, especially the Bengals got flagged twice, I think, for taunting and just doing, you know, Jamar Chase shit.
Mm-hmm.
How about him actually getting flagged for the push off? That made me happy.
Yeah, and it was kind of indicative. Like at least you're going to call that. Like, if you're calling this nonsense PIs, it was 0% pass interference. At least you're going to call it the other way. And that led to, like, the only Bengals stop, really. I think that was the only time we made them punt was because of that penalty. So, I mean, that made me feel a little bit better than just, like, man, that PI and that roughing the passer back-to-back to start. Those were brutal calls. That's just tough to watch. I got some good.
Am I wrong? Just one last thing on the game. I don't know if I'm misremembering this because he's had so many. Did MVS drop a touchdown and then we kicked a field goal on like the 3-yard line or something?
I think he dropped the touchdown and then we still scored.
Okay.
I think that might have been before Aaron Mahomes.
I feel like we kicked a field goal after his drop in the end zone. It was early in the game, I believe. And that's when you were talking about the team kind of being confused on these, you know, coin toss, like should you go or should you kick situations. And it's like, I know that we kicked like inside the five and then later went for it on a fourth down inside the five, where it's like, well, I guess the situation's changed a little bit because of what's happening in the game. But like, that's another Andy, can you make up your mind?
We did score after that one. So that was on second and goal, and we scored the pass to Jerick McKinnon after that.
Okay, cool. That's fair. All right.
The field goal early on was a 4th-and-3 at the Cincinnati 8. That was when he kicked, and then 4th-and-goal at the 3 later, he went for it, and then the 4th-and-7, obviously, later.
All right. What do you want to get to there, Durkee?
Oh, I just kind of looked up. Well, because I was like, man, these plays – the Chiefs offense seems to be rolling in most of these games against Cincinnati. And then we get down to like these key plays and we kind of fall apart. Like they seem to just make these plays against Mahomes every time. So I kind of want to look at like these big offensive plays from the last three times we played the Bengals. So the first matchup, there's only one. It's the last time we had the ball. It's 3rd-and-5 on all out blitz. The Chiefs don't pick it up, not ready for it, and Mahomes basically has to throw it away. And that's the last time the Chiefs touch the ball. Bengals drive down for like the last 6 minutes or something and eventually win the game. So that's kind of how that ends on the offense. It's just like a 3rd-and-5, all-out blitz, and they won that snap.
That's okay. The regular season game against them last year.
Correct. So then we get to the AFC Championship game. There's a lot more on this one. So first one's 3rd-and-3. Bengals are just tied at 21-21. So the comeback has already happened. They bring that three-man rush, the vaunted three-man rush with a spy. There's no pressure. Mahomes just running around forever. Eventually leads to a sack. 3rd-and-6 later on. It's still 21-21. This is after the Chiefs have an interception. Snead gets the pick. It's like, okay, the Chiefs got control here. 3rd-and-6. Three-man rush. Immediate pressure from them via Orlando Brown. I almost said Odell Beckham because I got OBJ here. But via Orlando Brown. So immediate pressure on a three-man rush and another sack on a key third down. Second and goal later on, down 24-21, a minute 26 left. Like, this is kind of where we're driving to tie it. We eventually tie it or maybe take the lead. Second and goal from the 4, a three-man rush. The first read is covered. Mahomes kind of runs around a little bit, takes another sack. 3rd-and-goal on the 9, down to 39 seconds. Same drive. This is the next play. Three-man rush. Mahomes running around forever. This is the one where he actually fumbles the ball and everybody's hearts stop. And it's just like, oh, the end of everything. And takes another sack. You might see a theme here. And then 3rd-and-10 in the AFC Championship game. This is an overtime. Another three-man rush. Every single key play in this AFC Championship game has been a three-man rush, which is interesting because that first matchup, the biggest play, they're bringing all out blitz. And then a lot of this game, you know, in the big plays early on, they're bringing a lot of blitzes too. So 3rd-and-10 in overtime, a three-man rush, no pressure. Mahomes actually throws a good pass and it kind of hits Tyreek in the hands, and which I don't really remember. It kind of bounces off his hands and then it's intercepted. Bengals get it, drive down, kick the field goal to win. And then this year, the 3rd-and-3, obviously, this is the play we've kind of already talked about, down 27-24. Another three-man rush with an immediate pressure given up by Orlando Brown leads to another sack. So it's just like all of these key plays, they're all three-man rushes and they all lead to sacks. And it's just incredibly frustrating that, you know, Orlando Brown's giving up these immediate pressures and only 3 men are rushing, or we're running around and, you know, Bengals defenders who aren't that great of players are making great plays against Mahomes, who runs around on everybody and makes plays on. It's just like they're winning like these one-on-one matchups, Sam Hubbard and Osai and Trey Hendrickson, and they just get the job done against Mahomes, which is more than almost anybody else in the NFL can say.
Osai's first name is Joseph, by the way.
Never heard of him.
First and last for Hendrickson and Hubbard.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Carrington asked Mahomes on Monday, like, you know, what's your biggest regret in that game? What's the one play you'd like to have back or whatever? And he mentioned the turnover, the Kelce fumble. He's like, you know, that's not something that you expect, but like when it's the only turnover that either team has in the game, like it, you know, pivotal moment, swings the game. But he said, you know, most of it is like executing in key moments. Like, that's why we practice this stuff. And I mean, he's telling you they failed in some big moments for now, the third time in a row against this team. And I think that that's the way that they view it. You know, it's these swing moments in the game, those, you know, big plus or minus win probability plays. And you can, it's hard to reduce things down to that. It feels a little unfair, but I mean, I think it's true.
But, well, that's what games come down to when it's, you know, two top quarterbacks dueling it out. Like, there's typically, when you're playing like an elite quarterback like that, top of his game, there's basically two ways you can beat him. You can either find a way to harass him all game and throw him off his game with pressure, or you can have another good quarterback that's going head to head with him, and you're just going to go trade score for score, and then you got to win it at the end. And the Bengals more or less done that the three times. Well, I guess the AFC Championship, I mean, the offense did falter a lot more in that one. It feels like the other two games, the Chiefs' offense was humming, and then just had one bad play at the end, and then the Bengals' offense just took control and made the plays when they needed to.
Yeah, that AFC Championship, even though it was still close, still a three-point game, whatever, that one feels different. I think it had a different vibe to it. In the second half, at least, you know, that was the first time that it felt like Mahomes lost a game.
Yeah.
Like really lost, you know, and especially when it mattered. And there, you know, like we had talked about after that loss, like, you know, this feels different than like losing in the Super Bowl, you know, like there's no excuses here. This just feels like we just didn't get it done. And I do think that it's important to remember, I talked to you guys about the snap counts, you know, that Noah Gray and Justin Watson were the next highest, you know, in terms of percentage of snaps after Kelce and Juju. They got to get McColl and or Kadarius Toney healthy. They need it. I don't know if the Chiefs super struggled in the red zone this game. But like, it kind of seems like Andy is reluctant to use Sky in that exact same role. And so the Chiefs are kind of for the first time without somebody that can do a lot of the misdirection type of stuff, when both of those guys are hurt. So, you know, hopefully they are at the very least ready for the playoffs, because if Andy can't go to that, it seems like it's a big part of their offense, and it's been here the whole time, you know, whether it's Dexter McCluster early and, you know, but they've drafted the likes of DeAnthony Thomas and, you know, Tyreek and McColl. And, I mean, it's a consistent piece, and if they can't rely on it because of these injuries, then it's either going to be, you have to start doing it with Sky because you need this part of your offense and you just got to hope for the best. Or they might have to figure something else out. And that's a little scary, depending on, you know, what it starts to look like in the playoffs.
One final stat for you here. Last thing I got, really.
Yeah.
Figure something else out. They kind of did this game. One weird thing about these Bengals games, Chiefs are over 100 yards rushing in each of the three losses to the Bengals. So they've been able to run the ball. It's almost like the Bengals using like the age old Andy Reid philosophy of, we're going to let you run it because, you know, you're not going to do it well enough, or you're not going to stick with it enough to, you know, win with it the entire game, kind of thing. Like, cause we always had like this bad run defense and it's just never been enough. But against the Bengals, you know, you kind of think about the Chiefs offense. If they're able to run it, how the hell are you going to stop it? And, you know, maybe they didn't really in this game, so I could see that argument. Anyways, to get to this stat, I thought it was kind of interesting that the Chiefs ran for over 100 yards in each of the three losses. The Chiefs have lost 18 other games in the Patrick Mahomes era. We've only rushed for 100 yards in four of them. So in the other 18 losses of the Mahomes era, only four of them were rushed for 100 yards. The other 14, you know, rushing game not doing anything, kind of all falls on Patrick kind of thing. Whereas the Bengals, it's been, you know, with the consistent run game and still coming up short. One thing I found interesting.
Well, the Chiefs are going to play the old Denver Broncos on Sunday out there at Mile High Stadium. I hope they kick their ass. I hope that they just absolutely brutalize this team and get back rolling. I can't imagine they feel great coming out of that game, knowing that it seemed like there was an emphasis placed on it, and having lost three in a row of that team. There's a lot of different reasons for them to probably feel low. And so I'm excited to see them turn the page, and hopefully it's a really good day at the office on Sunday against Russell Wilson and company.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because I think this is a game where, you know, if everything's just proceeding normally, the Chiefs would lay off a little bit. You'd see some field goals. They wouldn't show much in the playbook, but, you know, their offense isn't going to beat us enough. And, you know, we're just going to drag this one out to a 24-13 victory kind of thing.
Yeah.
But coming off that, I don't know what to expect. Do you see a bit of a hangover because of the disappointment of that loss, or do they come out pissed off because of that loss? So it'll be kind of interesting to see how they play it.
Ultimately, I think the result of this game is probably entirely predicated upon how sharp the offense is. Because if they are clicking, I would imagine they're going to have a lot of opportunities. I mean, the Broncos can't score. They just can't. They can't do it. And so hopefully there's some chances there for the defense to have a good day to be able to kind of raise their spirits as well. We'll see. The Chiefs have got five pretty easy games on paper to close out the year. They are
not. I'm gonna go with a very specific. They get up 14-0 early, and then really bog down the rest of the game and end up winning like 26-12 or something like that.
Okay, I could see it. After a loss, who's your jefe?
Oh boy, you go first. You got someone fresh.
Honestly, you know, coming out of this game, I think I'm going to do the Travis Kelce is still my jefe. Despite the fumble, I forgive him. Despite having a real tough game in his home state, I mean, not good. Not good out there. Didn't get many opportunities. Ultimately, Mahomes finishes 16 of 27. I mean, only 16 completions. I feel like he's had more than that in a quarter before. You know,
a lot of runs and limited possessions.
Yeah. But yeah, I think I'll say that Travis Kelce is still my jefe, and would really like to see a big game on Sunday.
Yeah, I like the I don't know, anybody blaming Travis Kelce. Like, what would Travis Kelce have to do for you to like get mad at him? Like, I think he could turn around and sack Mahomes and pick up the ball and run the wrong way and then punt it out of the end zone. I'd still be like, you know, he's still awesome. I still love that guy.
I loved the story that he and Mahomes told about how they partied together, like the first time they partied together, and they didn't even go out together. They just were at the same place and then were both late the next day.
I like the story of they played beer pong against Joe Montana's kids and lost because Travis Kelce kept bouncing.
He couldn't make Mahomes, it.
Yeah. Mahomes saying they still talk about that game as in the Montana's children.
Is it his kids? I thought it was Joe and his son.
I thought it was like two of Joe Montana's kids.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
But it
be better if it's clearly, Joe Montana.
Clearly bothered by the loss. Like, we're a pretty renowned beer pong team, but we took this L because Kelce's too fucking wasted and just bouncing the ball nonstop. I've been there. I've been that guy.
They left it open. It was the right play.
I've been the drunken bouncing guy. I can relate.
Yeah, that podcast was pretty epic.
Let's see, jefe from that game. I'm gonna go with Juju Smith-Schuster. For mostly just like one play where that fourth down where he kind of like takes the hit It was like the one play that like the Bengals kept doing over and over. They kept taking a hit like 2 yards shy of the first down and then still getting the first down.
But on that fourth down, so often just stolen yards like all game long. They wanted it more.
Yeah, that I mean the end of possession. I mean, there's like a clip of like three or four third downs in a row. It's like hit 2 yards shy of the first down and then them just getting it. And obviously, I mean, I highlighted that. The Juan Thornhill play with Ja'Marr Chase picking up that first down with the two defenders. That was, we didn't really mention on here, but that was beyond pathetic. A horrible effort, 4-on-2 and allowing him to get.
He might as well have like slipped. He fell on his face. Like,
I just don't understand. You have two defenders, you know, close them in together. If there's two guys and you're on the left, don't let him get to the left of you. It seems pretty fairly obvious to me, but he hesitated and he got the first down. But yeah, Juju on that fourth down, that was a huge play. And he kind of got tripped up and he kind of maintains his balance and then reaches for it. And I think kind of hurts himself on that play. Yeah. Was it on that play?
I thought he was concussed. I think it's just a neck injury or whatever. But he's, you know, I think he's been practicing. So, I mean, came back in the game, played the second most snaps to Kelsey. So,
and it was an interesting play because they did that on another fourth down either a week before or 2 weeks before. But the little Juju kind of running in and then pigtailing back out. And so that was a big play. But, you know, probably gone to that well too many times. Teams will probably be ready for it. But pull that out in a big moment. So I'll go Juju for it.
Well, we're going to pull out in a big moment here, folks. This has been Amateur Hour. I'm Ryan Scott Hall. He's his Dirkness. Go Chiefs.
Go Jordan.